What do you think happened to Michael Jordan when he went out for the varsity basketball team the first time? He got cut. He was so disappointed. He was so disappointed that he determined he could never let anything like that happen again. And he made an appointment with the coach, went to him, and pleaded with him, begged him, let me do something. They gave him charge of the socks and the uniforms. And he said, I want to stay with the team. I want to travel with the team. And when he had a chance, he practiced harder than anybody else. And guess the rest is history, right? The rest is history. None of us will ever forget Michael Jordan, right? Why don't we use that memory peg? You know what a memory peg is? It's a tool. It's something you remember that connects you with something very important. His disappointment, leading him to make an appointment with the coach as an encouragement for something much bigger than basketball or anything else. So the memory peg would be something that would remind us of something much bigger than anything else, and that is our relationship with God. Today, our theme is just that. Our disappointment is His appointment. And I've got some helpers planted around here, and I'd ask you to pass your little sheet out. Okay. Now, open your scriptures this morning to James, the fifth chapter. I don't usually use cutesy things like that, but my wife gave me that idea that she got out of a book, and I think it fits so well for us today that we'll give it a shot. Our disappointment is His appointment. Now, before we get into the text of James 5, does everybody have one? You've got to have one of these. You know, your day will not be complete without it. Before we get into the text of James chapter 5 here, let me paint the picture again for you. 2,000 years ago, this courageous pastor in Jerusalem, he's trying to keep the people together, trying to help them keep their heads. The Romans are brutally oppressing James's people, God's people. And their own Jewish aristocracy, the landowners, are taking economic advantage of everybody. It's same old story, right? Haves and the have-nots. Men, life, essentially, for God's people, is disappointing. For many here this morning, life is somewhat disappointing. Right? Bank balances are not what they ought to be. Maybe our marriage is disappointing, or other relationships. Maybe our health is not what it ought to be. They tell me if you have your health, you have everything. Men that lose it realize what a blessing that is. Okay? Listen this morning, though, how our disappointment is His appointment. Chapter 5, verse 13. He says, James. Now we're in the home stretch here. This is the last piece of this puzzle that we've looked at for a year now. And the home stretch is going to be about just this, about prayer. He says, if any of one of you is in trouble, he should pray. He's talking to his people. If any one of you is in trouble, he ought to pray. Men, let me ask you this question. What kind of problems, what kind of trouble can you tell him about? Is there anything he doesn't already know that you cannot bring to him and talk about? If any of you is in trouble, he should pray. I dug out this hymn that I keep in my car that happens to be a favorite of mine. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. I'll do one more stanza here, or the refrain, whatever it is. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. If any of you is in trouble, he should pray. Our disappointment is his appointment. Why is it we are so reluctant to take advantage of that? Think of Michael Jordan. His disappointment was his appointment. He went to the coach. Just think of that. You'll always remember that. And then he says, if anyone is happy, let him sing songs of praise. I spent a good part of Wednesday with a friend who came in from out of town, and I'm grateful that he included me in his itinerary. We spent 3 hours together. He recently sold his company to Wall Street. And he picked me up in his E320, I think that's what it is. And we went to lunch and we talked, and he's in transition now, career-wise. And let me tell you something, he is a very happy man. Right? He's a very happy, nothing like having several million dollars in the bank, I guess, to make you happy. And James says, if anyone happy, let him sing songs of praise. What are we doing, men, when we bring everything to God? What are we saying to him when we bring everything to him? The sorrow and the joy. What are we saying to him? We trust him. Why? He's in control. He's in control. His appointment. We are saying, God, you are sovereign. You are in charge of the good, the bad, and the ugly. The skill that James is encouraging us in this morning is make this part of our private prayers. Learn how to do that. Our disappointment or our joy, our happiness is his appointment, whatever it is. You remember our study of Ecclesiastes, right? 7:14. When times are good, be happy. But when times are bad, consider God has made one as well as the other. You could have $4 million in the bank. You could have, I've talked to guys with minus $1 million net worth. One's not particularly more smarter than the other. Sometimes we need a little switch here, verse 14. Sometimes we need to learn. I'll read the text in a minute. Let me explain something to you here. Sometimes we need to lean, men, on stronger brothers when life crashes in around us. This is going to be the next lesson from James this morning. And before I read this text, this was an aha experience for me this week. I called one of my board members and I told him. I said, I feel so grateful. I've been struggling with this text, and I think I found the answer to this passage. I agree with Professor Blue, who says the following passage that I'm going to read to you pertains to spiritual sickness, not physical sickness. And he gives a long argument, which I won't get into today, which happens to do with the meaning of the original Greek words here. And I agree with him. This passage is not about physical illness. It's about spiritual illness. Listen to me. Listen to this. 14. Is any one of you sick? The word there means weary. You're worn out. You can't take it anymore. He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make thee weary, worn out, discouraged, disappointed person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Sometimes we can become overwhelmed. Have you, you know cases like this, right? You have a brother and you keep trying to say, come on, God's in charge, God's sovereign, and he just doesn't seem to respond. What's happened to him? He's overwhelmed. He's overwhelmed spiritually. Loss of a loved one. Or I'm talking to a man this week on the phone, his wife of 25 years, she met a guy on a trip to Europe and she's out of here. Christian family. Something she missed in her life, that romance, and you know. If you are sick in your soul, overwhelmed, James says, go to the leaders of God's people and let them help you through it. This is the biblical remedy. It's a missing concept for many of us today. The oil here that he's talking about is not ceremonial oil. It is practical, hands-on. One of our leaders here, in this room here this morning, what he did recently is he took a man overwhelmed by the disappointment, the discouragement of divorce, and he took him out, and he took him out for a workout, and then he took him to dinner. He refreshed him. Men, this is the modern equivalent of rubbing oil on a guy's head back there 2,000 years ago. The elders come over, the guy's sick to us in his soul, you wash his face and you rub a little oil on his head. What's happening here? People are involved with other people at that point of need. And the touching is equally as important as what you do for the man materially, is to just show that you care that much. Put your arm around him, give him a hug, rub a little oil on his head. For a lot of us, we live in total isolation. It's a tragic thing. The information age is alienating us from one another. We don't even understand what we're talking about here. Occasionally, you'll see a little light of something like this happening. I know a lot of you have experienced this with Fleming Keefe. I can't list all the examples that I know about, okay? Men, it is in that atmosphere that a man can come to grips with his sin and despair. Look at 15, the end of 15 here again. See, he says, and the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up if he has sinned, and he will be forgiven. It's in an atmosphere of support and friendship and involvement that a man can come to grips with the fact, yes, I am sinning. I'm not trusting God. I can't trust God. I'm overwhelmed. But it's in an atmosphere of support, of fellowship. And that's why I don't want you calling Friday morning a Bible study, because you're misrepresenting it. It's not a Bible study. It's a men's fellowship. Don't miscast us. Okay? Get carried away here. I forgot where I was.
Amen.
Men, God does not intend for us to go it alone. Do you understand that? We live in an age that is wonderful. I like my Brooks Brothers ties, and I like my car, my air conditioning. I love it all. But in some ways, it's tragic because we don't understand the dynamics we're talking about here. Right? Some of our appointments with God are private. Some are with elders, and some are public. Look at verse 16 here as we conclude here this morning. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. What the Lord had in mind, men, for us is that we would be in close, supportive fellowship with one another, where we know what is going on with one another's lives. I know what's going on with you. You know what's going on with me. I said to my friend the other day who came to see me from out of town, I said, why is it I get so defensive sometimes when my wife says some things to me? He's my friend, I'm his friend. And he was able to help me with that. We don't have to pretend. We know we're all sinners, right? And we know that life is full of disappointments and full of joys. We need to confess our sins to one another, and then nothing is more powerful than to confess your sins first to God and then to each other. Remember Michael Jordan when he was disappointed. He made an appointment with the coach and begged him to keep him close to the game. When disappointment, really, when anything comes into our lives, make it his appointment. Men, the bottom line is here right in the end of verse 16 today. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. They've lost the power from the 17th century translation. The writers originally said, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It loses its power. We're losing a lot of things, including the English language. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You can remember that, right? The challenge this morning, men, is pray. Learn how to pray. Let's have prayer together. Lord, forgive us for neglecting the most incredible privilege of that we can even think about. We can come to you anytime, any place, with anything in the world, a sorrow or a joy, and we neglect it, and we confess that to you, and we ask for the grace to learn how to do it better. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.